So we're carrying on our series on the born identity. And we started with formed in his image, formed to bear his name, formed to bring him worship. And then we had last week Will say, given forgiven and set free was his topic. And his points were forgiven, free, and formed. And this week, we have filled with the Spirit. And I must say, a couple of weeks ago, when I was starting to kind of think upon the sermon, I was like, I kind of feel like we've done the Holy Spirit. That sounds really bad, doesn't it? But I was just like, you know, Paul Ince did a whole weekend. It's kind of, we've kind of done the Holy Spirit. And I just kind of wondered, why are we doing the Holy Spirit? But that's so often the problem, isn't it? Is we think we've got all the answers. We think we've checked the boxes. And we think, oh, Holy Spirit's in the bag, tick. Jesus in the bag, tick. God's in the bag, tick. And we're good. But E.M. Bounds says, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer, men and women mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men. Men of prayer. And that's what we want to be, is people that the Holy Ghost can use, that the Holy Spirit can use to further his kingdom. And that he can't use machinery, he can't use methods, but he can use each one of us. And so I wonder this morning, how do you fill your cup? Today I just went over and I poured some water in, but how do you fill your cup? What feeds you? It might be, maybe it's going for long walks. Maybe it's going to spend time with family and friends. Maybe you are someone who likes to play computer games and that feeds your cup. Maybe you're someone who likes a lot of sleep, or maybe it's sports, the gym, playing games. I don't know what it is, but what do you do that feeds your cup, that refills your tank when you're feeling tired and a bit lethargic and you just feel like you're running dry? So often we focus on filling our cup with things, but actually we forget to fill our cup to overflowing with the Spirit of God. And we see that throughout the Bible, there are so many passages about being filled with the Spirit. We see it from the very beginning of Luke, where it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. Zechariah was filled with the Spirit in Luke 1, verse 67. We see Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And again through Acts, we see people that are filled with the Spirit. And Ephesians 5 says this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from the heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul there in that phrase, be filled with the Spirit. It's actually the present continuous. And the grammar he's using is be constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be constantly being filled. So it's a continual filling of his Spirit upon us. And it's also an imperative, and it talks about, it's not just a request, it's not a suggestion, but it's a command. Paul is commanding us to keep on being filled. We can't just live off of the one filling. When we give our lives to Christ, that's it, job done, we're filled and we're able to keep going. No, much like ourselves when we need to recharge and we try and fill our cups by going for walks, catching up with family, our spiritual wells need to be refilled. To be filled with the Spirit implies freedom for him to occupy every part of our lives, guiding and controlling us. And so we see it We know that the Holy Spirit is so important. So what are the things we can do? Well, today I'm breaking the buckskin mold. I am wearing my checkered shirt, so I'm covered. However, I've got 4 points, so I'm sorry. I failed my job to this week. I haven't got three, but I've got 4 points. And they are promise, power, purpose, and produce. Promise, power, purpose, produce. Try to say that 5 or 10 times very fast. You'll get tongue twisted. The first one is... The first one is the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit in John 14, and he says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because he neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The promise of the Holy Spirit is something that we see throughout the Bible, but Jesus was reiterating here as an encouragement to his disciples, but also to us who are here living today, that we would never be alone. And we can, as we go through the promises, it's a perfect picture. This is a perfect picture of the Trinity. Because it's the Son asking the Father, and the Father who will give the Spirit, and the Spirit who will show the perfect example of Jesus and who will make us more like him. It's the perfect example. And so we see in this text so many different things, so many promises of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure you know them all, but just to go through them, we can see it says that he will be our advocate. He will be our helper. That the Greek word says it's a parakletos, which is basically meaning someone called to help someone else, an advisor, a legal defender, a mediator, or an intercessor. He will be our comforter is another translation of that word. The text carries on, and you'll see that it says, he's an advocate. He will help us. He will be with us forever. He will be our truth. And if you carry on, it will carry on and it will say various things like, he will teach us all things. We are not abandoned or orphaned. He will live in us and be with us. He will be our peace. Other parts of the Bible, Romans 8 says that he intercedes for us and he guides us. He guides our prayer. Isaiah 11, he's the counsel. He counsels us in all truth. John 16, he convicts us of sin. 1 Corinthians 6, he makes us holy. Romans 8, he leads us. And Acts 2, he anoints us for service and for heavenly tongues. There are so many things, and that's just a fraction of the promises of the Holy Spirit. And you might be saying, cool, I know that. I know that he's with me. I know that he's here. And I've got that down pat. But we must understand that God is always faithful to his promise. If he said it here, he is faithful to fulfill it. When times are hard, when things meet us and actually we don't have an answer for anything, we actually feel helpless. We can know that the Holy Spirit is there with us. Jeremiah 1:12 says, "The Lord said to me, 'You have seen correctly. I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled.'" The very coming of the Holy Spirit was a fulfillment of prophecy throughout the Bible. So whatever he said, he will fulfill. Amen? Amen? We can say that, can't we? We can say, oh man, I believe it. On a Sunday, we're like, amen. And then we leave church. And the kids are arguing, or my kids are arguing. Or maybe you hit work on Monday, and actually, you've just got that boss who's really annoying, or just wants to bully you. Or maybe you've got a family argument at dinner time, because actually you can't decide who was right or who was wrong. Or maybe you're having a marital disagreement because the house is not tidy enough and he just leaves his socks everywhere. I'm talking for myself. Not that anyone else does that here. But that sometimes the reality of a Sunday promise is not always found on a Monday reality. Because we can say amen in the church and we can say amen, he is my helper. But actually, how often are we living in the reality of that promise? You know, we were in Scotland the other day and we took a holiday and it was just a great time. We had I just felt like I was driving the whole time. You know those holidays when you get back and you're kind of stuck in the driving position? It's like one of those. But we drove up to Scotland and went to visit the family, and it was just a great time to catch up with my mum's side of the family and introduce Lapeese and the kids to them up there. And so we stayed with my aunt and uncle. And as you know, you may know, I think I've said it before, my daughter is a leader. Will calls her bossy, so probably a bit of both. But she's definitely got leadership potential. But she's got that spunk and that zest upon her that we love. But my auntie was kind of looking after and trying to just be like have fun with her. But my daughter's favorite phrase, and I'm sure no children go through this ever, but my daughter's favorite phrase at the moment is, I can do it. I can do it. I'm sure none of your children ever say that. But she says, I can do it. And she's determined to do it. And so one day we were leaving and my auntie came and was about to help her with her jacket. Olivia was like, no, I can do it. I can do it. So there she is. She's trying to get her jacket. And I joke you not, she's trying to do the zip, which she's never done in her life. And so she's there going, I can do it. I can do it. So, like, kind of just, I will do it. She had that determination to be. And my auntie was just like, it's okay. Let her try. Let her try. Sure enough, 30 seconds later, no. Can you help me, please? Soon enough, she realizes she can't do it. And she looks up with her beautiful eyes and says, can you help me? And that happens again and again with shoes and other things. But that's so often a picture of who we are with the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's like, no, I will do it, God, on my own. But actually, I need you to help me. Sometimes we need to get to the end of ourselves to remember the promise of God is faithful today. And tomorrow. We need to remember not to do it in our own strength. The Christian way is a life of faith. In order to hold on to the promises of God, we've got to believe them. And we need to live them. The Christian way is a life of faith. In order to hold on to the promises of God, you've got to believe them. You've got to say amen on a Sunday. But by Monday, you need to live by them also, each and every day. As Spirit-filled Christians, it's not good just to know the promise. It's actually, we need to be people that live the promise. Because the promise is in God. We sing it, our yes and amen. He is faithful to his promise. So first of all, we know that we see the promise of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we see the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that I've kind of talked about this a bit in the past about the dunamis power of God. I'm not going to read the text because it's up there, but Ephesians, I'll just pick part, says, I pray that out of the glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being. That you may be filled with the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And I love the Message version, which says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. The power of God, it can be something fierce, but it's something gentle and powerful that is at work within us. And we see that throughout the book of Acts, the power of God, the Holy Spirit came upon various people. And we see in Acts 2 that Spirit God came upon Peter and he preached and 3,000 people came to know the Lord. We see that it was again in verse 4, it says, Peter was filled with the Spirit and he spoke to the Sanhedrin. One of my favorite characters in the book is only very few lines, but at the end of Acts 7, it talks about Stephen. And it says, Stephen, full of the Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. And at that point, he preached to the Sanhedrin, and he was stoned to death. And as he was being stoned to death, the Spirit of God empowered him and enabled him. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Even at the point of death, even at the point of being stoned, the power of God was so strong within him that he was able to forgive and allow what was happening. It was a supernatural power. They had supernatural boldness that dwelt within them, that came upon them. And as I was thinking about this supernatural power that we sometimes don't always activate, you might not know these people, but when I got back from Burundi, from Congo, sorry, I was about 8-9 years old, and what was very fashionable at the time was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Who knows the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? There's a few of you. So what is amazing about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is they are just your bog standard teenagers. Well, that's what you think, isn't it? That's what you think. They're just pretending like they're cool, but then all of a sudden, disaster unveils. These random robots and other creatures decide to come out and are attacking planet Earth. You know, I wasn't actually allowed to watch this one, so I'd creep it on a Saturday morning without my mum and dad knowing. I was a bit of a rebel. But as soon as they said, it's morphing time, you know, when they did that, it's morphing time, they would be suddenly clad with spandex helmets, and they would become ninjas. They became ninja-powered people that could fight anything and everything that came their way. Now, I'm not saying you need to be wearing spandex to go out in the week this week. I know that Ash likes wearing spandex for cycling, but that's another point. But you don't have to be wearing spandex to be filled with the Spirit and to be powerful. You don't have to be a ninja fighter. But sometimes we do need to say it's morphing time. Sometimes we need to say, when we're facing problems, we need to say, Holy Spirit, I need your power. Come upon me. I'm not able to do it as a meanie, weenie teenager, or as a human being, as a man or a woman on my own. I need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to enable me to get through today. You might have a hectic meeting at work. You might have just a terrible situation going on in your family right now that you just can't see a solution for. I tell you now, it's morphing time. It's spiritual morphing time. It's time to take on the power of God and say, now is the time for us to rise up and to take what God has given us. We don't need to we don't need to be special. We don't need to be anything. We can be insignificant teenagers. Each and every one of us, no matter how broken, no matter who we are, the mighty power, dynamic, dynamite power of God, the one that rose Jesus from the dead, lives in you and he lives in me. It's just for us to activate. Charles Spurgeon said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire, we are useless. That's really encouraging, isn't it? If you leave, don't please leave thinking you're useless. You are not useless. You have everything because we have the Spirit of God. We have more than we need in his power and in who he is. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That same power lives in each and every one of us. So the promise of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Will touched on this last week. And he said, the purpose of freedom is 2 Corinthians 3. We see it. And it just fits so well that it's just a great knock-on effect that we've been freed in Christ. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all. So we have freedom, but now we all who have unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's no point having freedom if you're not being changed and transformed. You know, if you carry on your life as if you don't know Jesus or in your own strength, you will never know the transformative power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. The Holy Spirit's main purpose is not to give us tongues, although that is a part of it. It's not to free us from temptation, although he can help us through it. It's not to make us a completed work, because we will never be a completed work until we get to glory. It's not to make life easy and without trouble. The number one purpose of the Holy Spirit is transformation. The Holy Spirit is in character development. He's in behavior modification. I mean, imagine his CV. It sounds pretty amazing. I'm not sure what job he would get in this country, but he's in transformation. He's in behavior modification. He's in life changed for the kingdom and the glory of God. But so often we don't allow him to do what he needs to do. He should be helping us and allowing us, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so that freedom should usher in a change. He should be able to show us areas in our lives. And I loved when I was in Burundi, I had a best friend. His name was Calvin Kagori. And he was one of the pastors that we worked with alongside us. And he was actually a pastor in training. So he was studying as working alongside us. He was a Kenyan guy. And we were best mates. We just had a great time. He was a Kenyan guy. We were just one accord. And we would just keep each other accountable. And I would love that sometimes he would come to me and he would say, "Stuart, I've got something to say to you." When he said that, I was like, "Oh God, have mercy." Because I knew that it was something that actually meant that I had to sit down and be quiet. Because he was actually listening to the Holy Spirit. And he was going to pull me up on my blind spots. But he had permission to do that, because I said, we knew that we wanted to keep each other accountable. So he would come and say, "Stuart, I think you need to get better in this area. I think you need to just submit that to God and allow God to help you." And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? He's there to come alongside us, to transform us and to make us more like him. Titus 3 says, "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior." You know, one of the things I'm not very good at using, because I'm not the most practical. I'm not quite like Will, maybe, but one of these. This is my spirit level, and I knew that it was. I think this one is sufficient. Ashley's, on the other hand, is slightly more impressive. Let's put mine on top. But it doesn't matter, does it? What size the spirit level, the purpose is the same. It could be the whole length of this church, but it would still do the same thing. It would be adjusted left, right, until that ball of air gets right in the middle. And it doesn't matter if it's this size. It doesn't matter if it's this size. The Spirit of God is our spirit level. The Spirit of God, whatever portion we feel might have, some of us feel we don't have much of the power of God within us. It doesn't matter. Whatever size you feel you can have, he's every day adjusting you to make you more like Christ. So we see that God is one, or the Holy Spirit is one, and that he is someone who is constantly at work within us. He's constantly at work. And I love, you know, I was bathing Joshua the other day, and we've recently upgraded him from his bath in a tub. He was bathed in a tub for a while. You know, it's fine. It was kitchen sink, bum, dun, dun, dum, 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 bush. But now he's upgraded to the bathtub. We've got a bath seat. We were given a bath seat, and he's actually sharing his bath time with with Olivia, and she's like, every day, she's like, I'm having a bath with Olivia. Like, it's the biggest news in the world. But it's just great that this seat sits in the bath, and we can leave him on there, not on his own, don't worry. But we can sit him on that bath seat, and he can allow the water just to flow up, and he can kick. But the water will never get higher than about this area. And he's there kicking and wanting to be free, but he doesn't quite get to be fully immersed in the water. And then the other week we took him swimming and we dunked him in the water, not entirely, but he loved being able to be in the water, be fully immersed, kicking and splashing, being free. And I just thought, what a picture of who we are in our walk with Christ. How often do we fully immerse ourselves in who God is? Or are we like Joshua on a bath seat looking up and kicking the little amount of water that's in there? So often we just dabble our feet, but actually the purpose is to be fully immersed in his spirit and in his power. Why? Because as it said in Ephesians, it says that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Hallelujah. That we may be the full, may have the fullness of God within us. So that's the promise, the power, the purpose. And I'm going to ask the worship team come up, and we are going to our last one. And that is the produce of the Holy Spirit. So if we know that none of this, the Holy Spirit's purpose is not to make us perfect. What is the point of the Holy Spirit? It's to transform us so that we may be people that produce the fruits of the Spirit. I loved your illustration. Didn't know that little starry one, whatever it was called. But that Galatians 5 says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have been, Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. I wonder how we do when we look at that checklist. I think I fail on the first or second one. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I wonder how we would do when we look through that, because we know that Jesus said in John 15, he said, I am the true vine and the Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches. Who abides in me and I in him. He it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Without being connected to the Holy Spirit, without being connected to God, we are not able to produce fruit. We're not able to be who God has intended us to be. But if we are truly activating the promise every single day of the Holy Spirit, if we are empowered by the power of the Spirit, if we submit to the purposes of the Holy Spirit, then we will surely produce the fruits of the Spirit. Because the more we become like Christ, the more we will see the fruit in our everyday life. My question to us is, if we were arrested today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to put you on trial? Sounds weird, but if we lived in a country where persecution was very much rife, would there be enough evidence that we are producing fruit, that we are being transformative Christians, that it would put us on trial and convict us? I believe that every day we should pray this prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, I ask you to bring forth in my life your fruits, the fruit of love, so I may love you above all things and all others for your sake. The fruit of joy, that I may find my delight in your service. The fruit of peace, that I may be pardoned through your mercy and may rest in your love. The fruit of long suffering, that I may bear with patience all afflictions. The fruit of gentleness, that I may subdue all anger and take calmly and sweetly all trials and provocations. The fruit of meekness, that I may forgive freely all who have hurt me and endure with patience all burdens that are laid upon me. The fruit of temperance, that I may restrain all my desires and bring them into the subjection of your holy will. Amen. So we are a people filled with the Spirit. We need to be people that activate the promise, are empowered by the power of the Spirit, submit to the purpose, and produce the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, make us a people that are able to do exceedingly abundantly above because of the power of God at work within us.